Welcome to the Why Not Today podcast, where we celebrate courage, determination, and the power of saying why not today. I am your host, Leslie Kane, and in each episode, we dive into inspiring stories of individuals who have taken bold steps, faced their fears, and embraced the possibility of today. From entrepreneurs to artists, dreamers to doers, we explore the moments when somebody or when they said, enough waiting, why not today? Join me as we uncover the heartwarming, the audacious, and the transformative. Whether it's pursuing a lifelong passion, overcoming obstacles, or simply choosing joy, our guests share their journeys and inspire us all. I started this podcast in honor of my father, Patrick Kane, who often said, why not today? And remember, you're just one decision away from changing your life. And today, my guest is Renee Ventrice, and I think the first time I met you was at the Spark Gala.
Oh, that could definitely be. That was a wonderful
night. I think that was
night.
It. And so it was too. Because Lisa Adams, who's a good friend of mine, she's like, you got to know Renee. And I really follow, like when people tell that to me that I know and I trust and I like, and they tell me I need to meet someone, then I follow it. And not with everybody, but you know, it's got to be that trust thing. And I'm like, all right. And I met you and we had so much fun. And we were there with, I was there with my date that night was my sister, Amanda, who has Down syndrome. And you were just so kind to her. And we just had so much fun. And then of course we've done a call and I keep seeing you and love your story and everything about you. And there's so many parts to you. So we could probably talk for hours, but we're going to keep it short. So Renee, welcome to the Why Not Today podcast. So share a little about you and a fun fact that we might not know.
Oh my gosh, fun fact. That's always a hard one. Thank you so much, Leslie. And I'm so glad Lisa put our universes together. Let's see. I've lived in Loudoun County for over 20 years. And I have my husband and I have been together 32 years. My husband's name is Don. He's in cybersecurity. We have one child, Gino Natale, who he lives in Nashville now and he's 26. And my pride and joy, my 19-year-old Jack Russell Beamer, who since Gino left the house, now Beamer is the main recipient of all of my affections. Oh yeah, and Don too.
And we have matching dogs. I have a new Jack Russell.
We do. They have the same face. There's only two types of Jack Russells. Yeah. I think there's only two.
It's funny today, a friend of mine who has a dog that's the same shape and size as my dog, different dog, but different breed. But she texts me and she goes, we saw you walking and my dog is going crazy. She wants to play with Iggy. She goes, can I come pick Iggy up and take her out? And so she took her away for an hour to play. And I kept looking, where's the dog? Like, I don't think I've been here in the house without the dog since I got her.
Doggy play dates are the greatest. The only time in my life that I didn't have a dog was while I was in the Navy and I was living in the barracks. Other than that, I've had a dog almost my
totally life. New to me. Mm-hmm. I inherited her a year and a half ago. And so I'm still learning. Like some days I'm like, oh, I forgot I have to feed her, walk her, or I plan a trip. But I'm like, oh, I need somebody to take care of her. What am I going to do?
She'll tell you what she needs. Don't worry.
She does. So, Renee, what's a fun fact about you?
Fun fact about me. Well, let's see. People already know that I danced on stage with Prince in 1990. So
everybody know that. That's a pretty cool thing.
Oh yeah. I was on the cover of Ashburn magazine. No, I wasn't on the cover. I was in Ashburn magazine. He told my Prince story. So that's a fun fact. But the other big fun fact is I am one of the best Centipede video game players on the planet. It's just
I've never
the truth.
Even heard of that game. So I'm not 80s. A video game girl.
I'm a big 80s video game freak. Matter of fact, for my birthday a few years ago, my husband got me a stand-up video game like you find in an arcade, and it's got Centipede and Donkey Kong and all the different games on it. And so I may lose a few games here and there now and then, but I am obsessed with the video game Centipede. And sometimes I even play until 2-3 in the morning by myself in my basement, blasting 80s music, dancing around, you know, doing the thing.
Well, that's why I don't play those things because I caught myself, you know, I used to play like the solitaire. And then when my nieces and nephews were little, they had those Webkins. Do you remember those things?
I remember those.
And so I would late night, I'd be exhausted. And this is before all the social media. I'd be playing Webkins and getting them points. I'd log into their account and wake up and they had all those points. I'm like, I got to stop this craziness.
That's hilarious.
Yes. So what does courage mean to you, Renee?
All right. So I even wrote it down so I didn't forget. So to me, Courage is knowing that it may hurt or it may fail, but you do it anyway.
So true.
Yeah, I mean, I've applied that in a lot of different ways in my life. And it's not even just about it maybe hurting or failing, or it will expose you in some way. Like there's a vulnerability attached to what it is that you're doing. And you know that can be the painful part, right?
Yep,
But you do it
absolutely.
anyway because you know it needs to be done. And it's something that compels you. You're compelled to take action, and you take action regardless of any, you know, personal consequence that might bring.
Yeah, and what do they say? Imperfect action, or yeah, imperfect action is better than perfect anything. And I think that's the message with Why Not
I
Pay.
think,
You got to do it.
yeah, I think the word perfect isn't even, it is not a real thing. I mean, there are two things in the world that are perfect: lasagna and dogs.
Okay, I was gonna thought you were gonna say Jesus, but lasagna and dogs.
Lasagna and dogs, yeah.
Okay. I love lasagna and I'm loving dogs, so love that. All right, so you've got a really cool journey, and I know when we talked, you told me a lot about it, and again, we could be here forever, so we got to condense it. So you're in the military, you had some bumps in the road, you have a business, you're into wine, which if you're watching live, you see her wine clock behind us. It's wine o'clock somewhere. There you go.
Always 1 o'clock somewhere, right? I was making
So,
a joke in one of my wine groups. It's an international wine group. And someone says, "Does anybody else give you a weird look if you talk about drinking wine at like 10 in the morning?" And I said, "No, because I operate on European time, even though I live in Virginia. So when I get up at 10 o'clock, it's already 4 o'clock and I've already missed my liquid lunch." So yeah,
there you
that's
go.
a
You
strategy.
know, I'll drink wine. I'm not a big wine drinker, and but ice cream is my my downfall. And so one day it was really cold out, and I, you know, Robin McClure with Pinot's Palette.
Fun Robin,
Yes,
absolutely.
Fun Robin. So I was said, and she's a big wine drinker, and I was like, gonna take my sister and get ice cream. She's like, "It's too cold." I'm like, "Is it too cold to drink wine?" She's like, "No." I'm like, "Touche."
See, there you go. There's no temperature for wine.
No temperature for ice cream. So, all right. So when I talk to people about their courage journeys, always people have, I found in talking to people, that they have why not today moments, that those pivotal moments in your life, you remember where you were, almost what you're wearing, what you're doing, that your life took a completely different trajectory and you had no idea where you're going. And I've also found in talking to so many people that there's a story behind the story, and where you start and where you finish are totally different, and you had no idea you would be there. So share with me your journeys, your why not today moments. Where do you
Why
want to
not
share?
today?
Where do you want to go?
Well, so, you know, I think I'll start with, you know, I'll start with the start. Yeah. So military, even though I loved being in the military, I always knew that I would entrepreneur my way out of it, because I always had ideas and always had thoughts on how things could be better.
Were your parents entrepreneurs, or did they work for somebody else?
No, my parents, oh, actually, my mom was an entrepreneur. She had her own home daycare in our house with toddlers. I'm sorry, not toddlers, infants, which is why everybody was shocked when I said that I was going to have a baby, because my son was only the second child that I had voluntarily held that was a baby. Don't like babies, don't like children. There should be, I should have a shirt that says not safe for children. No, really, I am not child friendly. You know,
well, and I asked that question about the entrepreneur because often people whose parents were entrepreneurs, they follow that.
Yeah, my mom really didn't. She did not inspire entrepreneurship in me simply because she filled the house with infants and babies when I was young. And I still to this day, I don't like the way that it sounds when a baby cries. I mean, I'm not a very maternal person. I'm fully okay with admitting that. But my father, you know, he was in the military. He's a retired Air Force. And he always encouraged me to follow my gut on who I thought that I was. You know, and he was always one that's like, the only time you fail is when you stop trying to win. And so, the entrepreneur in me was always a part of who I was. Having the courage to go after it was really from him. So after I left the military, I kind of floated around doing things. I was a nightclub dancer. I taught fitness. You know, I was 40 pounds ago, I was a really great fitness instructor. You know, and I'm not saying I was really great, like to brag. I'm just saying that I developed a really great following wherever I went. I loved doing it. My passion for it came across to others. So it was a really great fit for me to be a fitness
And I
instructor.
can understand where you probably came from, not necessarily the fitness part, but the community and the group and the people you're connected with and making
Oh
it work.
yeah. I mean, whatever it is I do know that connecting with people and making them feel joy is my assignment, right?
Love
Making
that.
people feel better about themselves, about their own journeys, all of those things.
Making people
So,
feel special.
yeah, so when I'm, well, special, but also empowered. Like I want them to feel like they not only do they deserve to have this amazing, life, which I talked to a guy today who gave me that word. It's not about what we need as women, it's about what we deserve as women and accessing that and giving us the permission and the grace to go for it. So when I got hurt, I tore up my ankle. I have flat feet. I didn't wear good shoes. Three surgeries, 2006 or 2009. I spent almost 3 years in a boot. Couldn't get back into my fitness career, and that destroyed me because that's what I did. I mean, that's how I kept my weight
So
off.
you
That's
were.
why I danced. It was really my heart and soul. I found an opportunity to volunteer in my community as an MC. And so I was an MC at Broadlands Live for 13 years. And it was awesome right here in my neighborhood, bringing bands and sponsors and all these things together. So now I start to develop this reputation as somebody who cares about the community. And because of all the work I did to grab sponsorships, now the businesses knew me and they knew what kind of an advocate I was. Fast forward to I start writing reviews. The reviews were really well received. I did it under a pen name. And I just knew that I loved to write and I knew that I loved community. Wine kind of came about very organically. I took a sip once, realized that it paired with food, realized that it wasn't just the same as like orange juice or grape juice. This was an experience. And so again, that started to flourish. I did a wine tasting once and I described one of my stories, which was I'll tell you how I was courageous for the very first time. It was when I was about 7, 8 years old. Couldn't ride a bike. We couldn't afford bikes. So nobody in my family even owned a bike. So when my sister had one for a while, anyway, didn't know how to ride a bike. My friends take me to the top of the hill by our house and said, okay, Renee, just get on and just pedal and the bike will stay up. You'll be fine. You can do it. You can do it. And I was like, okay, I can do it. I mean, I had no reason to think I couldn't. They let the bike go and I'm pedaling and I can hear them cheering. And I'm like, I'm riding a bike. I'm riding a bike. I don't know how to stop a bike. They didn't tell me that part. So it's summer, July in Nebraska. It's 95 degrees out. Now I'm scared to death because I'm getting to the bottom of the hill and I don't know what to do. And I end up steering it into a car. I fly off the bike. My mouth is open because I'm screaming. I get all these hot rocks and tar and grass in my mouth. And so I'm crying, I'm screaming, I'm spitting all this stuff out of my mouth. Well, that sip of that wine reminded me of that moment. And so I
Okay.
said that. Yeah, I said that to the guy, and he like gives me this really weird look and he pulls the tasting notes out of the drawer. And in the tasting notes, I'm not good at these things, but in the tasting notes, it says hot slate and slightly tar-like on the finish and fresh mown grass, and all this, all the things that I had experienced on
Oh,
that.
wow.
It made me realize that I had a taste for the things or a way of finding these things in wine. So that's
Right.
what brought me to today. This book that I'm writing about wine, it really is about wine and the relationship that you have with it, but also how it also correlates with relationships you have with other humans and animals.
That's awesome. So,
So,
writing a book, was it something you always wanted to do? Is it something that you've been working on for a long time? Was it a moment that you're like, I'm writing a book? Where did that come about?
So yeah, so I've written since I won a contest when I was 7 years old. That was a big time. 1977 was a big year, but I won a creative writing contest way back then. So yes, I've always written. I've got probably 10, 15 published articles in different magazines, and then I also write for our local magazine in Broadlands. So I've always written, and a book has always been in me. I started writing a book almost 20 years ago that I never finished because I didn't know what the character's next move was. This book came about was this book was my why not today move, moment. Even though I owned Cork and Keg Tours, a winery brewery tour company for 7 years, made it very successful, award winning. When it was time to sell, I knew it was time to get, to let somebody else grow what I had built with my husband. The coaching came very organically, but I've also always known that that was just another part of me, but it wasn't it. This book.
Okay, so go back. So you
Yeah.
were in the military,
Yep.
and then you were doing cork and keg tours
Oh, there's 20 years in between that, but yeah.
in athletics. And then you were doing, so how'd you get from keg tours to coaching to
So,
wine?
yeah, so during COVID, we had to shut down the business. We had to close our doors. Luckily, we always kept, if I ever had business advice for anyone, it's keep 3 months of operating capital in your bank account at all times.
Yeah.
So we were like, well, let's write it out and see what happens. I was bored, right? I'd already quit my day job. I used to be the VP of marketing for a pet spa company, pet spa dog walking company. I quit that job to do Cork and Keg Tours full time. I had planned on franchising Cork and Keg Tours in 2020, and then COVID came along and said, "No, you're not."
Nope.
So I was bored, and
Which
I started.
2020 was one of a big why not today moment for so many people that they pivoted.
It was,
Like,
and I
what's
thought.
next?
Yeah, and I thought that was my big moment, but it wasn't. All it did was just make it easier to come back to the tours. But during that time, I started mentoring people. I was in the collective and I saw a lot of entrepreneurs that were, I'm going to give up. I can't do this. This is hard. I don't know what to do. And I'm like, I'll help you. I was coaching people either for free or for a donation to Veterans Moving Forward, a charity that I'm very, close to. They train service dogs for veterans in need. So I was mentoring and all this and, getting donations for the charity just to keep busy until I could start doing tours again. But then by the end of 2020, someone came to me and said, you are a really good coach. You should do this. And I was like, I don't know about that. I just like to help people. 2023 came along and I was approached by somebody else who I respected a lot in the coaching industry. And she said, just come to this retreat. So I went and a coach was born. It was very difficult because I had to strip away a lot of my self-doubt, a lot of my self-limiting beliefs. I had a lot of that to go through. In fact, 2023, most of the year was spent getting to know myself and valuing the things that I brought to the table so that I had the confidence to coach others.
Well, I think the whole coaching world, which I'm finding too, and I talked about this on my third anniversary episode. I had somebody interview me, and you're selling tours, you're selling dog grooming, you're selling things. You're helping somebody else sponsor. All those things are easy. But when you try to sell you,
Oh,
it's not
yeah.
always as easy. So, and
Yeah.
although we have amazing experience and credentials and knowledge, and everything we've done has brought you to the place you are,
Yeah,
it's
with
hard
that
to put a
willingness.
price tag on you.
Right. That is really the hard part. And what really was funny was all the things I was telling my clients I needed to do, I actually had to do myself. So I really had to become my own first
Isn't that
cheerleader.
always the truth? Like,
It
whenever
is.
we're
It
teaching,
is.
it's like, oh, stepping on my own toes.
Well, so people have been telling me for years, ever since they started seeing me do these wine events. So again, during COVID, I was online in my van, drinking wine by myself, doing karaoke by myself because I had this beautiful tricked out Sprinter in my driveway. So yeah, so I would go out there and party on my own. People saw me doing that, and restaurants then started coming to me and asking me to do tastings for them and pair their things. Well, when I was doing that, I wasn't doing just a standard tasting. My tagline became pair wine with life and all the experiences beyond the glass.
Love
And
it.
so now I'm taking this whole new niche in wine and just leaning in. And so now people are like, Renee, you have to put this in a book. I've never heard wine described that way. You just inspired me to do something different too. You inspired me to try this wine from South Africa. I'm not afraid to pick up wine from a different shelf now, So I kept getting more and more of that feedback. And then I was talking to a guy who I was actually just trying to get a gig speaking at one of the conferences that I speak at. I speak at a global tourism conference. It's been twice now. I was trying to get him hired. And in that conversation, he talked about his book journey and that he was starting a publishing company. And through all of that, and with the energy just zinging around the room, I'm like, all right, I'll be one of your betas in your cohort for tourism books and coaching. Let's go for it. And so I made a decision. What day is today? I made a decision. In 81 days, my book will be out. I have barely started writing it, but it's all here. We're doing all these things. I'm like, when do I write? And they're like, not
Oh,
yet.
you haven't written the book yet? I I knew I liked you for a reason. I was,
Talk about courage. I've got 81
no,
days.
you gotta, for me, I've gotta have a deadline to get it done. I actually was doing an event with somebody and we planned the idea and she said, are you one of these people that you have to set it all up and then set a date or set a date and get it figured out? I'm like, oh, set the date and get it figured out. And that's where this podcast came about. I had
Yeah.
the idea, came up with the logo, had vinyls, doing cups, but I hadn't started the podcast. And literally, my goal was to start the first episode was March 5th of 2022, which was
Okay.
the day my dad was born and the day he passed away. And it's in honor of my dad. And so that was a Saturday, and literally Friday, about 3 o'clock, I recorded my first episode and hit play on
Look at
Saturday.
that.
You know,
He
you
was right
gotta
there
have,
with you. He was
yeah.
right there with
And
you.
so, you know, you'll figure it out. Everything is figure outable.
Absolutely.
Because, and you throw yourself out there and you can't not
And that's
because.
exactly the point. The day I had to make that announcement, I said, "Hey guys, I'm writing a book and I want to be a bestseller and I have a launch. I want you to be a part of my launch team." And that's already been working. I mean, I am already more than halfway to my first goal of getting 100 people on this launch team. I've only made what, two posts maybe about it? I don't know. But you know, I did the same thing with the podcast in 2020 again. 2019, December, Gary V. Do you know who Gary Vaynerchuk is? So Gary V put this 345 slide deck on LinkedIn and said,
You're
"You
the one that told me about it. I pulled it up one day and I never did it.
well, if you do it, it'll change everything." It changed everything for me. I doubled my income after doing it, and I'm not afraid to say it. And I'll put my hand on a stack of Bibles or whatever book you believe in to say that, yeah, it doubled. Because one of the things I said at first, I don't have time to watch a 345 slide deck. I got a business to run. And then 345 slides later, I had created a podcast. I recorded two podcast episodes. I had completely revamped my Instagram and my Facebook strategies. I did all of this watching his slide deck and incorporating the things that I'd already been doing. So we were very much on the same wavelength in the way that we wanted to do things, but he gave me the knowledge to be able to do things I
Well,
didn't
and
have.
now you can take that knowledge and throw it in ChatGPT, and it'll take you seconds to get stuff done.
To some degree, but you can't GPT humanization and
No, but
passion.
you can take your ideas and fine-tune.
Yeah, I mean, you know, as an idea person, that's not I don't I use it as a thesaurus, and I
Yeah.
use it for my clients to put together things like psychographics and other things. So there are factual things that I use GPT for, but I don't use it for anything that would try to replace my heart, my passion, my soul, or my originality. You
I use
can't
it to tweak
use it
my
for that.
to give it tangible stuff to my creativity.
Yeah. So, but you know, it's just, I mean, it'd be like having a ghostwriter. There's no way a ghostwriter would ever take me as a client because I'm a writer, right? And so GPT does not write anything for me, but they may help me to change happy to glad. And it's got a lot of great purposes to it. But yeah, I don't use it for anything creative. And I don't look, people who do, I mean, good on them. You know, everybody needs to have that opportunity to bring it all together, but it's
Right.
just not how I use it. So yeah, so when we did the call about the book, and he's like, "Okay, well, these are the things you're doing." I started doing it. As soon as inspiration strikes me, though, I start writing. So I wrote my first chapter yesterday. And guess how long it took me to write my first chapter?
Minutes.
Minutes, less than 5 minutes. I was like, "Oh, I got it."
Because it's all up there. It's just
It's
getting
already
it
there.
out. You know,
And
I
it's the
often plan
process,
things
though.
like right before I have to do it, because, and it's not that I just like today, I'm like, oh, let's just start thinking about it. No, it's in there.
Yeah,
And
yeah.
you have to think about it and sleep on it and marinate.
Well, and then also when the inspiration strikes, you go for it. And so I love that I have tools in place that I've got a document that I can access on my phone or on my computer at any moment to put my ideas right down there. So
Yeah.
it's already been a
So,
great
what
experience.
is the name of the book?
I don't know.
Oh, you haven't decided that. Okay.
That
And when is it coming
was
out? We do know
the
that.
first poll. I do. Yeah, that in 81 days.
Okay.
It was the first so the first poll that I did for my book launch group was, which of these three names resonates with you? Now, one of those names was one that which I won't disclose, but one of those names was one that I already thought that I wanted. But
Okay, so
when I
let's go
found
back.
out,
What's it about?
so the book, I haven't decided yet if it is a relationship book with a drinking problem, or a wine book with a relationship problem.
So you said 81 days, but you know, people may be listening to this 10 years from now and right before. So what is the date?
So the first week of June in 2025 is when this book will come out. And that is approximately 90 days after I said I was going to do it. So the book is about this. The book is about your relationships with not just your relationship with wine, but your relationship with your friends, your family, your business, your partners, and yourself. Oh, and your animals, right? So each chapter is based around which wine is a mirror image of that relationship. And this is something people are like, how can you make relationships out of wine? And my answer is, I don't know. I just do. I mean, it just makes sense to me. Like when I would take a sip of that wine, and it reminds me of the day that my husband and I went to our very first vineyard in Tuscany, right? Chianti will always be that experience for me, right?
Always be. You have those memories that are emotional. It ties you, like the wine will tie you to those things.
And that's what makes wine an experience, not a beverage, because nobody sits around saying, I'll never forget that apple juice. It was 1998. I was in a blue dress, right? You know, that doesn't happen. But wine does evoke those things. And so the fact that from my very first sip, that mattered to me, that I was emotionally connected. It was on our wedding anniversary, approximately 1 month after our son was born in 1998. We were in Pensacola, Florida. We didn't have a pot to piss in because we were military people with no, you know, money whatsoever. We were enlisted. It was a very special moment. And it was my husband being a big shot for our anniversary. And when we got the wine and we were eating sushi, and then we took another sip of the wine and we're like, this wine is different than it was before. And so the sommelier comes back over and we're like, we don't think it's bad, but something's kind of weird. The wine changed. And he was the first person to tell us about how wine actually changes with food based on what's inside of it. And so, so at that moment, it's not just a glass of wine. It's the first time we really pampered ourselves with something special like this. It was us not being able to afford wine that cost more than $5 a bottle back in 1998, and still just trying to figure it out. But it became something that represented the moment that we were able to buy a bottle of Dom Perignon. We knew that we would have arrived. Well, guess what happened when we bought our first house, because we were still poor and listed people, our first house here in Virginia? We bought that bottle of Dom and we're like, we've been waiting for 15 years for this or whatever it was, you know? So yeah, you get tied to an experience with wine, and I'm very, very entrenched in that part of it. And so this book is really about the relationship. So you want to know the title of the first chapter I write in the book? Nobody else knows this yet.
Well, they're going to know it now.
I'm going to tell it to you. Leslie Kane exclusive on Wine Not Today. Notice I said Wine Not Today. We need to call this one Wine Not Today. Call it Wine Yes Today.
I think. Yeah, exactly. What's the chapter title?
My chapter title, My Toxic Ex.
Love it.
So, who is your toxic, when you think about your toxic ex, right, as a human, but also when we put this together and making it into a wine. And my husband laughed out loud. He was cooking dinner while I was reading him the episode, the title, and he was like, oh my God, that's hilarious. So we had to stop while I got to a certain part of the chapter. He's like, and I know exactly what moment you're talking about, blah, blah, blah. That's the reaction I'm going to get from people who read this. So on Wednesday, coming up next week, I'm actually doing my first pre-launch event, and I'll do a reading of a part of the chapter. So it's a really exciting journey that is beyond the book. The book is just a vehicle to get me where I really want to be, which is on stages, sharing entrepreneurial journeys, giving people a new perspective on wine and a way to enjoy it responsibly and in a way that really connects with them and their, you know, their desires, their experiences, and selling that book and writing the next one. There are two more books in the works already.
All right. Well, how would you encourage somebody else to say, why not today, and do the thing they're afraid of?
Yeah. So I would tell people, what's the worst that could happen, right? I mean, you know, when you really think about taking a risk, unless you're talking about an actual adrenaline junkie risk where you could, you know, end up an ink spot on the ground, You have to be, you have to really make sure that if it means something to you and it means something to you the next day and the next day, and it's not an emotional decision, right? It's a decision on something that really is in you and really does matter to you. You owe it to yourself to do it. You deserve to do it. And you know, that little girl inside of you who may be afraid to walk across that bridge, or that little girl who may be afraid to pick up that phone and make that call to that Fortune 500 company for a $5 billion contract, she knows what she's doing. If it came into her universe, she's qualified to
Not by
be there.
accident. And I think, you said not an emotional decision, but I think sometimes we have to pay attention to our emotions and do the things that's leading us, like it's in your gut, and you just know,
Yeah, so your
Yeah.
gut is a little different than the emotion, where the way that I see it. For example, I was going to let go of an opportunity yesterday that I thought, you know what, my gut told me this is getting really messy. This is going to bring chaos into my life, and this is not a good decision. So when I had the thought, I talked it over with my husband, and I said, I'm going to sleep on it. And if I feel the same way tomorrow, then I'm going to do this. So what my emotions and my gut told me yesterday, today my head gave me an actual better solution than just saying no. It actually gave me a not this, but that, because I gave
Well, and
myself a
sometimes,
chance
yeah, and we need to
to
think
let the
about
emotions settle. Yeah,
and sleep
so
on it and
that's
try not to jump. Well, I
yeah.
always say I try to connect back to my dad,
Okay.
and this is kind of a fun thing that I never would have caught, but you're talking about your addiction to or your fun of video games. And when we were kids, my dad, I don't know where he got it, but he got a bar version of Pac-Man, like a tabletop Pac-Man that was
Yes,
in a bar.
I
And
have one.
he had it in his home office, and we played it all the time. And that was probably the extent of my video games.
Well, next time you come over to my house, when you come to my house, we will play Pac-Man first, and then we will do whatever we were supposed to be here to do
Okay,
after
sounds good. So,
that.
well, thank you for being a guest and sharing your courage. And yeah, the why not today, it's a journey, and we have to listen to what our heart says and be ready to see where it's going to take us.
Absolutely.
So, and just when you're fo if you're following Why Not Today, we have a new website that just came out, depending on when you're listening to this, but it's whynottodaymovement.com, and we do fun events and obviously the podcast, and offer coaching and courses to help people to get the courage and give you the tools that you need to move forward in your business. So thank you everybody for joining us on this inspiring journey. Remember, every day is an opportunity to take action, chase your dreams, and make a difference. So why not today? If you enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend. And let's start a movement, because why not today? So thank you, Renee.
Thank you so much, Leslie. It was a
Love
pleasure to
your
be with you.
story. Bye, everybody. Remember, say why not.